Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's wonderful to see all of you here tonight. And we are going to open with a prayer before we do anything, because we do need the Lord's help so very much. We know that Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing," and I firmly believe that. So we are going to open with a prayer right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast brought us here. We thank thee for this opportunity to worship thee, to sing thy praises, to glorify thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that thy presence would be here. I pray that thy spirit would be here. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us here this night. Inspire us, O God, to truly give thee our hearts. Inspire us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. I pray that all that we do here this night will be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find a chorus book, we are going to start with number 115 tonight. I will enter his gates, number 115. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, 'This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, 'This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad.'" Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise God. Well, we are going to turn now to number 15 and sing "The Windows of Heaven Are Open," number 15. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord. We are going to turn now to number 28 and sing, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me. Number 28. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Praise the Lord. God. We are going to turn now to number 66 and sing, Jesus, I'll Never Forget What You've Done For Me. Number 66.
Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Turn now to number 89 and sing God Can Do Anything, number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything. The beginning and the end is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of the thousand to my soul. But fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail.
praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
God, well, I am thankful that we serve a God who can do anything, who is never stuck, who always knows the right thing to do, and He can lead us by His hand and show us the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn now to number 40. Number 40 in the chorus book. Praise God. Sing, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Number 40. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, well, why don't we look across the page and sing number 34, How Great is Our God, number 34. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one. Just put your trust in Me. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, yes, we do serve a great God, don't we? Praise the Lord. And we are going to take up the collection now, and of course, this is always a voluntary thing. There's no expectation that anybody puts anything in this basket, so, you know, if you feel led to do so by the Lord, that's fine, but otherwise, praise God. We give as we can, praise the Lord. So we're going to take up a collection right now. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for thy many abundant blessings that thou hast poured out. And I pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Give us thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy mighty name. For we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would continue to guide and direct us in all things. I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, there's a chorus that comes to mind. Oh, I almost forgot, and I don't want to forget. We do have a prayer request here. Tori would like prayer tonight. She twisted her knee while at work, and she just started the job, and she doesn't want to miss work. So we're going to pray for Tori here tonight, that God will be with her and touch her and heal her. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Tori, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven right now with thy healing touch. Let her feel thy presence, O God. For we know, O God, that thou art a Savior who can do all things. We know that thou art an answering God who can do all things. We know that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our mighty working God. We know that by thy stripes we are healed. And I pray, O God, that thou would touch Tori right now. Let her feel thy presence. Let her feel thy touch. I pray, O God, that thou would walk with her and lead her and guide her and direct her in all things, and heal this injury, we pray, and quickly we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. There's a chorus that I've had on my mind, and it's number 95. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Number 95. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Yeah. God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley for the Bible study and see what the Lord has put on her heart. And I do want to apologize for the heat here tonight. We got here around 6:30 and the air conditioning was off and it was 80 degrees in here, but it'll cool off eventually and probably right about the time we're done, actually. It seems like that's usually how it goes. But praise God, we're going to turn this over to Shirley and see what God has given her. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to sing God's praises and to worship Him and to really know that He is an answering God. And, you know, just people would just reach out to Him. You know, we're just really thankful. We've had quite a week so far, and we've got two dear people sitting back here. And, you know, I think they have witnessed prayers answered. And I think that is so precious. We've been able to have a study together and some time on Sunday too, and you know, the Lord brought them here tonight, and I'm just thankful. It's so good to see you, Courtney and Andrika. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We are so blessed. We've got a lot that He's given us, you know, His Word, and you know, we've tasted and noticed, we've seen that the Lord is good. You know, we've experienced His goodness, His mercy, His kindness to us. And we know that, you know, we've got something that we could share with the world. It doesn't have to be confined just to us. In fact, it better not just be, because, well, you know, there's people that need to hear it. And if we don't tell it, who is going to? But I thank the Lord. He put it within us. And here we are tonight to sing God's praises and to worship Him, you know, and to hear His Word. And, oh, what a privilege. You know, you just don't know. I know there's always needs in our hearts, in our lives, you know. But, you know, if we just put our trust in the Lord, we just lean on Him, you just don't know. He's so able to answer. It could be tonight that those answers come. And we just thank the Lord, because that's where our trust is. That's where our hope is. And we know that there's nothing too hard for God. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. We're going to pray right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. Oh, we thank You for what You have done, O Lord, for the hope that we have within our very beings, Lord. Oh God, we know that we're just dust of the earth, Lord. And oh God, without You, we don't have any abilities. Oh, we don't have any hope without You, Lord. Oh God, we could do nothing without You, Lord Jesus. But we thank You, Lord, that You picked us up, Lord, that You began to talk to our hearts. Oh God, that You'd help us to see and understand the things that are written in Your Word. And here we are tonight, Lord. We're believing that You're going to work, Lord. Oh God, we're believing that You're going to use this Word. Oh God, that You're going to talk to our hearts, Lord. Oh God, that You're going to get us to that place where we need to be in You, Lord. Oh God, that we can all stand before You, Lord, with pure hearts, robed in Thy righteousness, Lord. Not our own righteousness, Lord, for they are but filthy rags. But God, You breathe upon us. You put Your Spirit in us, Lord. You brought us to this place here tonight, Lord, that we could worship You, that we could give You our hearts. Oh God, that we could, You could, oh God, reach down and touch us, and oh, that we could hear Thy Word. We thank You, Jesus. I pray, oh God, against anything, oh God, that would try to hinder In the name of Jesus, and I pray, O Lord, that you would work in a mighty way in each and every heart. O God, that you bless the people online too, Lord. O God, that you'd answer their prayers and give them hope, O Lord, and that your word would come alive, O Lord Jesus. Let the devil be bound in every work of darkness. Oh God, we just bring it to you in the name of Jesus and take authority, oh God, over against all things that would be contrary. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, oh Lord, we lay hold on eternal life and on thy word. And oh God, what thou hast declared, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, we thank you, Lord. Ask you to use this word tonight to lead, guide, and direct, and to anoint. In Jesus' name, oh Lord. Be here, Lord, and give me words. I ask, O Lord, for I know I could do nothing without you. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. He's so good. Amen. You know what? We're not very many here tonight sitting in the pews. We do have some people online. And Sunday mornings we have more. Some of our people live a bit of a distance, so it's a little harder to be here on a weeknight, but you know, you're all here, and it's beautiful, and I thank God that he is here. You know, for where two or three are gathered in his midst, he promised to be there among us. He promised, oh yes, if we're gathered in his name, he promised to be in our very midst. And that's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus walking among us, talking to our hearts and inspiring us and, oh, helping us to see and understand the things that are written in his word. That's a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 40 here tonight. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to call this message Good Tidings of Great Joy. Good tidings of great joy, and let's see. Chapter 40 of Isaiah is on page 963, if your Bible is like mine. 963. So here we go. Isaiah chapter 40. Praise the Lord. And page 963. Praise our God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, of course, Isaiah is in the Old Testament. We have the Bible divided into two categories, the Old Testament, the time period before Jesus Christ came to this world, and then the New Testament, which starts with the Gospels, the four Gospels, and the works that Jesus Christ did while he was on earth, and the book of Acts, the actions of the apostles after Jesus ascended back into heaven, and letters that were written to the churches. So we have those divisions, and we're in the Old Testament right now here in Isaiah 40, but there's something that's really wonderful to know, and so many of the utterances in the Old Testament were prophetic. They uttered things that the prophets of God didn't always completely understand what they were saying, but the Holy Ghost would come upon them, and they would speak forth as God would anoint them. And they would speak forth. And they said many things that were prophetic concerning our Lord Jesus Christ and the church that was to be born, the church that was yet to come, and even the end time. All these things that are written in God's word. So we're going to have a little bit of that, I believe, tonight as we read. We're going to see some things that, you know, the prophets could have known because they witnessed it, but it was something that was going to come forth in the near future, down the road, when the Messiah would come. And that's what they looked for. They looked for Jesus to come. He'd been promised. You know, the world was in great jeopardy when sin entered into the world. You know, God made it at the beginning there. If we were to turn to the very first book, the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. You know, we're not going to do that, I don't think, right now, but you know, if we were to look there, we would see how God created this world, and he spoke it out of nothing. It was, you know, it was just void. It was empty. The darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God began to speak the world forth. He began to put it into the way it was meant to be created. And what a beautiful thing. God made it in perfection. But sad to say, down the road, sin entered into the world, and things weren't so perfect after that. Curses also entered into the world because of sin. So, you know, we have a problem. And at the very beginning, Adam and Eve, the creation, the first creation of God as far as man and woman goes, they walked with God in the cool of the evening. They had fellowship with Him. And they would walk with Him, but everything changed when sin entered into the world. All at once, fear entered into the world. The curses entered into the world. And all at once, they realized that they were naked and they began to hide from God. They realized that they weren't in a condition to see God. And, oh, he wasn't fooled one bit. He understood that sin had entered into the world. And thus everything began to change. Death entered into the world. Oh, no, they just didn't fall over dead, you know, like that with the snap of a finger. But their cells began to die. Oh, it was down the road. They lived many long years. But I'll tell you what, death began to reign from Adam and down the road. As it was. So things were never the same. But there was hope. There was hope that a Messiah would come and restore the things that had been lost. That fellowship that Adam and Eve had had with God. When he literally walked with them in the cool of the evening. And praise the Lord Jesus did come into this world. And so many of these prophetic utterances are speaking of that time when Jesus would enter the world and we would again have fellowship with him. Oh, we haven't seen him yet, but we know he's here. We can sense his presence, and he made a way that we can directly talk to him as individuals. We can go to the throne of Almighty God and we can bring our requests and our needs before God, knowing that he's there. And if we have faith, that he'll hear us and that he'll answer. It's a beautiful thing. He came to restore that which was lost, that fellowship. And thank the Lord, there's no friend like the Lord Jesus. We can bring everything to him and know that he cares for us, that he loves us, and that he knows how to make a way. That's a wonderful hope that we have. And beyond that, oh yes, he put his spirit with us. When he fills us with the Holy Ghost, he puts his spirit deep down inside. Oh, yes, so we can have that still, small voice speaking to our very inner being. And besides that, we have a hope of heaven. Oh, yes, reigning with him as kings and priests unto God forever and ever in a world that is perfect, in a world where there is no sin, one with another, they're having perfect fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And being in that realm where his presence is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here we go to Isaiah chapter 40. The first verse says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Oh yes, there was a price that had to be paid. Oh yes, old Israel got into plenty of trouble. And there was a time that because they would not listen to God, that he sent the enemies upon them. And it was because of that you know that they would eventually turn again to the Lord. So here it is, a time when he's saying to speak comfort to his people and tell them in verse 2 that their warfare is accomplished, that needed which to be done was now over, and that her iniquity is pardoned. Now I'll tell you what, there's nothing more wonderful than having the sin that is in our life pardoned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is a wonderful thing because sin separates us from God. That's what separated Adam and Eve in the beginning, that sin. But praise the Lord, God made a way so that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He made a way that we could go right before Him as our Savior and confess our sins, knowing that He would pardon our sins. And then it tells us here in the second verse, for she hath received at the Lord's hand double for her sins. So at this point, those debts are taken care of. That debt is paid. And now it's time for reconciliation. Oh, yes, to be brought back to a place of restoration. And then verse 3 begins to talk of a time. Oh, a time when Jesus would come forth. But before Jesus came forth, there was a forerunner. And his name was John the Baptist. And this verse in chapter 40, verse 3, speaks of John the Baptist. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And we're going to go to John, I believe, in a minute here, but verse 4, it says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And I love this verse. Oh, yes, Jesus was going to come into the scene. First, John would come forth and prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. But, oh, yes, with all of this, John was going to bring forth a message of repentance. And it wasn't everybody that was going to hear him. You know, it's rather ironic in a lot of ways. The religious people, the Pharisees, they were the ones that, you know, thought they were so important. Oh, yes, and that they were close to God, I suppose. They were the religious ones. But yet, they couldn't see that they needed a Savior. They couldn't see that they had sin in their lives. And there was a problem with this, because there was a need to get right with God. There was a need to repent. And that means to turn away from sin. So it tells us, again, in verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And this represents the valleys which are low being exalted. It represents those things that are low being made high. And then it talks about every mountain and hill, the things that are high being made low. Oh, there was a leveling at this point. The Lord was making a path. He calls it in some places a highway of holiness. He was making a way that his people could walk upon, a way that would be clear so that we wouldn't stumble and get all messed up, you know, and have to go from highs to low, to highs to low. But he made a path that was clear that we could walk upon. And oh, yes, he put it in his word so we might know the way to walk, the way to go. And then he talks about the crooked shall be made straight. Oh, can you just see that curvy old line there that was all crooked, and the Lord coming to make it straight. And the rough places plain. Oh, yes, he was going to shave those rough edges off. And you know, that's what he does for us. We come to Jesus Christ as we are. You know, yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, you know, and we've got nothing of ourselves to boast on at all. But we come to the Lord and he begins to take our crooked old lives and our rough old lives, and he begins to move in us, oh yes, to make us straight. Oh yes, to make us plain. Oh yes, oh, he's changing our lives, so that one day we can stand before him, oh yes, and be found in his likeness, so we could be like the Lord Jesus. But I love how it is, how he does that. You know, my friend Brother Tim often tells this story about a carpenter who was down there by a building, and he was working on a stone, and he was, you know, chiseling away and just, you know, it was rough, but he was, you know, working on it. And somebody came by and asked him, you know, well, why are you doing that? You know, it didn't necessarily make sense. But the man who was the carpenter said, well, you see that missing place up there in the building? He said, I am working on this piece so that it will fit up there. I'm working on it down here so that when it's finished, when I've got it just right, it's going to fit just perfectly up there. And you know, that's what the Lord does with our lives. He takes us, oh yes, we can come to Him as we are, but He takes us and He begins molding and shaping us and working on us and taking a plane, you know, roughing off the edges so that we're smooth. Oh yes, and oh, taking all the crookedness and making it straight, begins to work on our lives. So one day we could fit up there in heaven. Oh yes, so that one day we could be conformed to the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what life is all about. It's about getting ready for that day when we stand before the Lord. And I'm so glad He's given us opportunity here tonight to think about, oh, what we need to do and how we need to come to Him and how we need to allow the Lord to work in our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful plan that God has for His people. But here it was, and there was that precious day when Jesus came to this world. If we keep our finger in Isaiah 40 and go for a minute to John, the very first chapter. John is the fourth gospel in the New Testament. If we look at chapter 1 in John, it's on page 1393. And here, oh yes, we have quite a wonderful description. Here it tells us in verse 1, chapter 1 of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we're talking about the Word that spoke this world into existence and said, let there be light. And there was light, you know. Oh, let there be land, and there was land. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the deep to separate the waters from the waters, the waters on the earth from the waters of the atmosphere. Oh, that Word that spoke forth. And it explains in verse 2 here in John, the first chapter, the same was in the beginning with God. And it explains in verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It all is due because there is a Creator. Oh yes, the eternal God that spoke this world into creation and spoke life, breathed into the nostrils of a man, Adam, the first man, and he became a living soul. So it explains all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Oh yes, here we are. Jesus was the light of the world. And when He came into this world, it was full of darkness. And it tells us this, well, we're going to read it in just a minute. I guess we might as well get there. But it explains in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And we just read that third verse there in Isaiah 40 that refers to John. And here it explains in verse 7, talking about John the Baptist, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he's talking about the light as being the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why John came, to witness, to bear witness of Jesus Christ, that all men through him might believe. And verse 8 explains he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then it's talking about Jesus Christ as the true light. It says in verse 10, and this is something to think about. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Now, isn't that something? Jesus Christ came forth into this world. He was the Creator, and yet the world didn't recognize Him. And then it explains in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jewish people. He came to them because they had been chosen to be representatives of the kingdom of God in the Old Testament. But he came to those people specifically, and they didn't receive him. But praise the Lord, there were a few that did. And oh yes, there's some of us here tonight that have. And it tells us in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what he gives his children. He gives us power, the ability to become his sons and daughters, because he puts his spirit in us. And that's a beautiful, wonderful, amazing thing. Verse 13 explains, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And it's talking about not the first time that we came into this world, but when we're born again of the water and of the spirit. When we're born again, it's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but it's of God. And that's what that reference indicates. That second birth, when we're born again, and this time he breathes into us the breath of the Holy Ghost into our very being. Verse 14 explains, and the Word was made flesh, that Word that was in the beginning with God. It explains, and this is who Jesus was. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of a Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us in the next verse, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And see, isn't that amazing? John realized that Jesus wasn't ordinary, and God had put it within him. He knew that he was a forerunner, and that he was going to bear witness of Jesus Christ. And he realized, Jesus, even though he had been born of his mother Mary, he had been born with flesh, but yet he had been from all eternity, because he was God also. God had put his seed in a woman, Mary, and she conceived and brought forth Jesus Christ. And so that's how it was. And John realized that the eternal Spirit of God indwelt Jesus Christ. So he was preferred before John, for he was before him. And that was understanding that came from God. In the life of John the Baptist, verse 16 explains, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18 explains, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And that was a thing. God was invisible, but yet he came to this world as a Messiah. He put on flesh, he put his seed within a woman, Mary, so he could be born of man, so to speak. But indwelt in that body was the eternal Spirit of God. And it explains it in verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared to him. And so here's John the Baptist. Now he's come forth and he's bearing witness of Jesus Christ. Verse 19 says, and this is a record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And, he was honest. He said in verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? Or Elijah, as we better know it. And he saith, I am not. And then, art thou that prophet? And there's a reference in Deuteronomy the 18th to that prophet that would come. And that also speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? Oh, yes, those religious people who were the priests and the Levites, they were the religious ones. They had come to ask John, Well, how'd you get here? You know, what are you doing? You know, what are you all about? Who sent you? And, oh, yes, he answered in verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah, as is mentioned here. It's the same, only we have it in the Hebrew in Isaiah, and here it's in the Greek. So that was the voice of one crying, and that's what we just read. Back in Isaiah 40, and there's more that we could read, but I'd like to go back to Isaiah 40 right now. We just had read that verse 3 in Isaiah 40, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In those verses, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Oh, yes, and this is on page 963. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And then verse 5 here in Isaiah 40 says, And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Oh, what was the glory of the Lord? That was the Lord Jesus. And it says, All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God had declared it through the prophetic utterances of the Old Testament. And it was going to come to pass, and indeed it did, yes, as we just read there. Oh, yes, of how John came forth and he was making the way straight. He was preparing the way for the one that had been promised to come, the Lord Jesus. And it did come to pass. And thank the Lord because, oh, yes, the coming of Jesus Christ changed everything. Oh, yes, we wouldn't be here tonight gathered like this, worshiping and praising the Lord and opening up this wonderful book if it hadn't been for the coming of Jesus Christ. And so, again, it tells us here in Isaiah 40, verse 5, And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That means it shall be made known. And all flesh shall see it together. Oh, yes, the people that were alive at that time were witnesses. But oh, it goes beyond that, because we too, we have not yet seen him yet. But one day our eyes are going to behold him. One day we're going to stand in his presence and we're going to see him too. Praise the Lord, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Then verse 6 says, The voice said, Cry. And he said, that would be the prophet Isaiah, What shall I cry? And the answer is, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. And in other words, you know, our life here on earth is pretty short. Oh, yes, I've said this before. It seems like, you know, we're young one moment and old the next. It just goes like that. Here it just says, you know, all flesh is grass. You know how the grass comes up in the spring, but then it dies out. In the fall, and it talks about the goodliness thereof is a flower of the field. You know, it is flowers, so beautiful as they are, but they're temporary. They don't last very long. Oh, some are very short-lived, but that's what our life is like. It's very fleeting, and you know, we're here right now. We have opportunity right now, but it's not going to be forever here on this earth. And then it says in verse 7, The grass withereth. Oh, yes. Oh, if it doesn't rain, even in the summer, that grass is going to wither. The flower fadeth. Oh, the flowers aren't going to bloom if there's not enough rain, if there's not enough sunshine. because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Oh, yes, God, allowing it. Oh, the breath of the Lord blowing upon it. Surely the people is grass. Oh, he's comparing us to grass. In verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but there is something that shall stand forever. And you know what it is? It says in verse 8, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Oh, what a beautiful thing. You know, as we open up the pages of this Bible, we're reading words of life. We're reading words that are going to last, endure forever. And, you know, and we stand before God. And believe me, each and every one of us is going to stand before God and give an account of the things that are done in our lives. But what's going to matter at that point is how we've lived our lives in accordance with these words of eternal life, this Bible, the scripture that we're opening to right this very minute. These words of our God shall stand forever. Oh, it says in the scripture that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. You know, God ordained that it be written. And you know, he anointed his prophets, his people, to write it, to pen it with their pens. But they were writing words that would linger not only for that moment, but through all the ages to come, throughout all eternity. Oh, I like that. But the word of our God shall stand forever. And the verse 9, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Oh yes, they had gone through a time where it seemed like they were forsaken by God. God let them be overtaken by the enemies. He let the Assyrians come in and take off the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And then down the road, he let the Babylonians come in and take off the 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. He allowed that to happen because they weren't listening to the voice of God. And he had to do something to get their attention. So he allowed them to be carried off. But oh yes, there was going to be this time when they could be comforted. There was a time, oh, when the good tidings of great news, good news, would be again ringing through the mountains. The news that there was a Savior. And praise the Lord. I'm going back to Isaiah 40, but if you could turn with me for a little while to Luke, this third gospel and the second chapter. Luke chapter 2. And that's on page 1342 and 1343. And praise the Lord, this tells us the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. And as I said, oh, his entrance into this world has made such a difference that we could all come to him. And here's the story in this second chapter of Luke. You know, they were told that they needed to go to their own cities to be taxed. The decree came out from the Roman Caesar that all the world had to be taxed. And, you know, it tells us in verse 3 that they all went to their own cities to be taxed. And there was a man named Joseph. It tells us in verse 4, also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. It tells us in verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And remember I told you, you know, she was with child of the Holy Ghost. And so she had been engaged or espoused to Joseph. But, and he, you know, at the first he was very confused because, you know, how did she get pregnant? But praise the Lord, God sent an angel to explain it to him and told him to not fear, but to take her, and that which was conceived of her was of the Holy Ghost. And so he did. And there they were. She was great with child, it tells us in verse 5. Verse 6 explains, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. They had gone to the city of Bethlehem because that was their background. That's where their ancestors had come from. And so they went there, and here she was. Can you just see this? Very heavy with child. And, you know, typically we, you know, see her riding on a donkey, and, you know, there they were. It tells us, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And it explains in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We could just think about this a minute. You know what swaddling clothes are? Swaddling clothes are rags. That's all she had to clothe Jesus Christ, her child that was born there. And, you know, there was no room for them in the inn, you know, in the motel, you know. They obviously found some place where there was a manger, a trough that the angels ate out of. That's where she laid Jesus Christ. She wasn't, you know, she didn't have any fancy garments for him or anything special at all, just swaddling clothes, just rags. And she laid him in a manger. Oh, there, that was our Savior who came into this world so unnoticed and so unknown at that moment. Jesus, the Son of God, the flesh of the living God, and laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. But I'll tell you what, the word got out. For it tells us in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Okay, here they are. It's nighttime, and they're watching their sheep out in the field. And all at once, there was a heavenly manifestation. The angel of the Lord came forth upon them, and it was a bright, shining, outstanding thing. It was like the glory of the Lord shining right there about them. You couldn't help but notice. And it tells us they were so afraid. Oh, what does this mean? What does this mean? The angel of the Lord shining brightly. And oh, they didn't understand. But the angel began to speak in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, this was the thing that would change the rest of history. Oh, yes, the Savior, the promised one that came into the world fulfilling Scripture, the one that they had longed for through the ages, the Savior of the world, Christ the Lord. And the angel proclaimed, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, I'll tell you what, I kind of would have liked to have been those shepherds out in the field watching those sheep by night. And all at once the angel of the Lord comes, and yes, a little afraid at the first. Oh, yes, but he speaks forth. Begins to bring forth a message, that message of hope. Oh, yes, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, yes, and this is a sign. This is how you're going to find him. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, oh, can you just imagine this? There was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. All those angels that proclaimed the message, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to man. Oh, praise the Lord, it was a heavenly, oh, manifestation. Oh, yes, a wonderful sight indeed. Oh, and what a privilege it must have been to have been there in the field watching those sheep by night. Verse 15 tells us, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they didn't waste any time. Oh, it says in verse 16, and they came with haste. Oh, they were in a hurry. I want to see this. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Oh, yes, and it was a wonderful sight. And I'm sure they knew that that child was very significant and very special. Oh, yes, a Savior that would come into the world. And, you know, it tells us in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went and told everybody what they had witnessed. Oh, yes, the angel of the Lord appearing to them in the sky, and then the heavenly hosts that came and proclaimed the good message and told them, oh, what the sign would be, and where they could find the Savior. Oh, this babe, this little one, this newborn babe. Oh, you're wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. They went and told everybody. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Oh, what a wonderment. All this thing that had happened, these things that had happened, this wonderful, glorious event. And of course, Mary and Joseph had witnessed it. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You see, this what happened that night was the answer to the declaration that was made in Isaiah 40. And I'm going back to Isaiah 40 again. Verse 9, O Zion, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Oh, yes, the shepherds told it everywhere, didn't they? Oh, the angels declared it. Oh, yes, it had to be known. Be not afraid. Oh, yes. That's what the angel of the Lord told the shepherds. Be not afraid. Oh, don't be afraid, people. The Savior has come into the world. The Savior has come to give us hope. Oh, yes, to give us a reason to live. Oh, yes, an answer to our cries, an answer to our prayers. The Savior has come into the world. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Oh, praise the Lord. He came. He came into this world. Oh, it tells us he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Most people didn't get it. Oh, yes, as Jesus continued his ministry, once he was grown, we understand that a lot of people rejected him. Oh, yes, when he bore down on doctrine, a lot of people just got up and laughed and wouldn't listen anymore. But thank God for those of us who hear the good tidings, who hear the good news, these good tidings of great joy that was given. Oh, yes, it's such a blessing to this world. Yes, it tells us here, verse 10 of Isaiah 40, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Oh, yes, I'm not quite done here in Isaiah 40, but turning back to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, thinking about another prophetic utterance, verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 9. Page 929, it declares, verse 6, Oh, and this whole chapter is a wonderful one because it talks about the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That light was the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the scene and changing everything. But here they declared it. Isaiah declared it in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus would be. He would be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it tells us in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Oh, Jesus came forth to bring forth peace. It isn't a peace like the world knoweth. The world is looking for peace right now, but it's not the peace that Jesus Christ gives. Jesus gives us a peace that the world cannot have, except that we come to him. Oh, yes, a peace that wells up in our soul. Oh, a peace that makes us to know that all is well with my soul and that someday I'm going to be with Jesus Christ. That peace that passes all our understanding. Oh, praise the Lord. In spite of all the tumultuous things happening in this world, all the heavy things in this world, all the darkness in this world, all the fighting, all the wars and rumors of wars, and people disagreed and not getting along, and oh, all these things that break out continuously, riots in the streets, and all of that. Oh, yes, that's all the world. But Jesus came, he was bringing forth a spiritual kingdom. He was bringing forth something that would begin with his coming and never end, because he was going to come forth and put his spirit in his people. So it says here in Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government in peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. Well, there is no judgment and justice other than in the Lord. Oh, things are so contrary in this world. Oh, once in a while you find a judge who judges favorably, you know, decently, in a godly manner, but for the most part, so many things are done unjustly in this world. But praise the Lord, Jesus came to bring forth a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Oh, something that began while he walked this earth and is for all eternity and is going to happen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's going to happen. He did it. He came to seek and to save those which were lost, and what he uttered, that he will do. And praise the Lord, yes, he came on the scene. And you know, there as he was, you know, what a thing, because Jesus knew that he was going to give his life. You know, there was nothing easy about the life, the existence of Jesus Christ as a man. There was nothing easy about it at all. He knew that he was going to be crucified upon a cross. Yes, that men were going to put him to death. But you know, there on that cross, he was redeeming us. He was buying us. He was restoring the thing that had been lost from the beginning. He was reconciling us to God so that we could have peace with him, so that our sins could be forgiven. That's what he was doing on the cross. He was buying us back. And he who knew no sin, because Jesus Christ, he came to this world, he put himself under his own law, and he was a perfect man. He was a perfect man, but you know what? He took our sin upon himself. He who had no sin became sin for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. He came to take our sins. That was his purpose, his plan. Yes, the first time he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, what a gift we've been given. You know, there before he was crucified, he stood in Pilate's judgment hall. And Pilate was confused. He didn't understand why this just man was standing before him. He realized that the Jewish people had brought him before him because of envy. And it wasn't a good reason. It wasn't a just reason. It didn't make any sense at all. And here's Pilate. It tells us in the 18th chapter of John, and I'm just going to read a few verses here. You know, he's asking Jesus, Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" In verse 34, Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" And if you'd like to find it, it's on page 1425. So there he is. Jesus said, "Well, why are you saying this? Is it of yourself, or did others tell you that I am the king of the Jews?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Pilate couldn't get it. It was so confusing. But this is what Jesus answered, and this is so significant. Jesus answered in verse 36 here in John 18, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then should my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." See, they didn't get it. Herod didn't realize at the beginning that, you know, yes, Jesus was to be king of the Jews. Oh, but, you know, it wasn't going to be an earthly kingdom. He wasn't going to cause an uprising. He wasn't going to dispose of the Herods and of the Caesars. Nothing like that at all, because he was bringing forth a kingdom that was spiritual. He would come and dwell in our hearts so that we could be his sons and daughters, so that we could reign with him for all eternity. And he's explaining it to Pilate. "My kingdom isn't of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my friends fight for me? My servants would fight for me. They'd take up the sword. They would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And then it says in verse 37, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate asked a question, "What is truth?" But you know, is a profound thing. Oh yes, if the truth abide in us, we hear the voice of the Lord. Oh, the one that standeth at the door and knocketh at our heart's door. Oh yes, that one that bids us to let him come in and sup with him and he with us. Oh, that voice of the Savior that says, "Give me your life. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, Jesus cried forth that call to come forth. And here, you know, all those good tidings of good news were prophesied in Isaiah 40. And just going to finish this portion of scripture here that relates to this. Verse 10 again in Isaiah 40. "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand." Oh, "and his arm shall rule for him." He was bringing forth a spiritual rulership, a spiritual government, one that would never end, a righteous government. "Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." Verse 11 is so beautiful. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall carry the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Oh, that's what Jesus came. You know, one thing he confessed as he spoke words of life, and I'm just going for a moment here as I begin to end this message to John, the 10th chapter. Jesus told us that he was the good shepherd. Oh, this beautiful verse there in Isaiah 40, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. You know, that's how the Lord reaches down for us. Oh, we might be in great sin. We might be in great struggles. Oh, yes, we might have all kinds of things against us. The Lord reaching down, oh, for us, so that we might have hope, that we might have eternal life, that we might be born again, that we might be his sons and daughters. Oh, the nature of a gentle shepherd. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. How he gathers us. Oh, he knows when we're hurt, when we're wanting, oh, when we have pain. He gathers us to himself, and he offers comfort and reassurances and hope and healing and salvation. All those wonderful things that he gives to his children. But, oh, he loves so much that he died for. Oh, praise the Lord. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young. Oh, our precious Jesus, that saw us when we were a long way off, that saw us when we were living in sin and doing all kinds of foolish things and not even thinking about him. Oh, there is a God, a Savior, oh, one, a good shepherd that reached down when we were in such despair and such a hopeless state that we might come to him, be led by him, and we might know him, that he might give us his peace, a peace that passes all understanding. Oh, praise the Lord, and he told us, oh, yes, in John, the 10th chapter, that he was the good shepherd. Oh, yes. He says in verse 7 here in John 10, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. Oh, yes, there's all kinds of voices of confusion. There's all kinds of voices that are of deception. False shepherds, false voices all over the place proclaiming the words of God and far from it. So Jesus knew. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Jesus explained, verse 9, I am the door. Oh, that opening. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, yes. Oh, he breathes upon us. He gives us things that we could never dream of, that hope that is within. You know, the things that really matter are eternal anyway. Oh, the things that are going to make a difference are the things that are unseen, the hope that we have in our hearts. Oh, yes, the joy that he gives us because we've given our lives to the Lord. And he explained in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Oh yes, those that are false, they don't stay with the sheep, but they run. Oh yes, when they see the wolf coming, they run, and they scatter the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Oh, he's a false shepherd. He's not there because he loves the sheep. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He came to the Jewish people initially, but you know, there was going to go way beyond that because the door of salvation was going to be open to us who are not Jewish. No matter what race or creed or background we have, he opened that door of salvation. In fact, that voice is going out. It has to be declared among every nation and kindred and people and tongue. It has to be declared that Jesus is God. Jesus came forth as God manifested in the flesh. That has to be declared. And that door is open, that door of salvation, that we can come to Jesus. We can come to him. We can bring him our cares, our trouble. We can bring him our sin and know that he will forgive us, that he will restore us, that he will give us hope. And so he said here, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, he speaks to us in a still small voice. He speaks to our soul. We hear that tug at our hearts, and we just know, I've got to get right with God. I've got to, you know, turn my sins, my past, my life over to God and praise the Lord. You know, that place is open right now. We can come to Jesus tonight. We can find him as our Lord and Savior tonight. And praise the Lord, it's open. That door is opened. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. That's why he died. He came into this world to give his life a ransom for many. And he explains in verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Oh, you know, he didn't have to give his life. He didn't have to die for us. But he did with great desire, because there was something that he could see that was beyond this world. There was something that he could see as he was giving his life on the cross. He could see you. He could see me. There, as he was dying on that cross, he saw the people that would come to him and give their lives to him and turn their lives over to Jesus Christ, turn away from their past, from their sins, all the things that they had done that separated them from God. Jesus saw it. Praise the Lord. And he tells us, I'm going to Isaiah, just for a few verses here. Isaiah chapter 53. And this beautiful chapter tells the story how Jesus came to this world. He was a man of sorrow, and he was acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. People didn't see and understand who he was. People didn't acknowledge him. He could have come to this world as a king and made himself known to everybody, but he came as a servant. Oh, but you know what he was doing? He was bearing our griefs. And he was carrying our sorrows, in spite of the fact that we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. All people did see him for who he was, for the most part. But what was he doing? Verse 5 in Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. That's what he was doing. He took those stripes upon his back so that we could be healed. He was wounded so that we could be saved. He was bruised, yes, so those iniquities, those sins, those dreadful things that we did that separated us from God could be forgiven. Yes, for all we like sheep had gone astray. We turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. God put our sins upon Jesus Christ. We could never thank him enough for that. He took those sins that condemned us and held us back. He took those sins so that we might come to him. Oh yes, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened out his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He wasn't very old. His ministry was only 3.5 short years. He was only 33.5 years old when he was killed. And he had no children on this earth. Who's going to declare his generation? Who's going to declare it? But praise the Lord, he put it within his people that he would make his sons and daughters. Oh, yes, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. But these last few verses here explain a very profound thing here. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. What was he seeing on the cross? He was seeing us. He was seeing his seed. He was seeing the people who would believe on him and come to him. And they would prolong his days, because we will declare the gospel. We will bring it forth. We will share it. And it says, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And verse 11, it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul. Oh, that anguish, that pain. Oh, yes, that was excruciating to be there on the cross of Calvary, to be laid out like that. It was so, a tremendously horrendous death. But there was a travail of his soul. He was bringing forth children. He was bringing forth you and me on that cross. We were the travail of his soul. And it says, shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what he was doing on the cross. He was giving his life for you and I. We were the travail of his soul. Oh, yes, when a mother is giving birth to children, there's travail that comes forth. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was travailing for us. He was giving his life for us, that we might come to him, that we might know him as our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord, here we are tonight. Oh, yes, that door of salvation is still opened. As he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. Praise the Lord. We'll come to him and acknowledge our sin and all the things that we've done in our past life that displease the Lord. He will make us his sons and daughters. He will come unto us. He will open up that door. Oh, yes, because he is the good shepherd that sees his sheep and knows his sheep. And praise the Lord, we know him. There he is. Oh, he takes us as we are. Praise the Lord, he begins to transform us. Oh, yes, that we might reflect his image, that we might give glory to him, that we might be his sons and daughters, and someday stand before him, robed in his righteousness, because we are all doomed. Our own righteousness was as filthy rags. But praise the Lord, he puts his righteousness upon us. And praise the Lord, we have opportunity here tonight to give everything over to Jesus. Praise the Lord, he stands at the door of our heart and knocks. Oh, yes. And won't you let him come in? Won't you let him come in and sup with you? Oh, yes, and he with you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We love you, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to see and understand and to acknowledge thee. Pray, oh God, that you'd give us a heart, oh Lord, that, oh God, is after thy heart. Oh God, that you'd lead us as sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, the good shepherd who gave his life for us. Oh, yes, those good tidings of great joy. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise God. His gift of eternal life. Good tidings of great joy. Praise the Lord. Brother Samuel's coming. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to go to number 176 in the chorus book. Number 176, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and filled my soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.